Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code CHAMPION and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Virginia only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-532-3500.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, a.k.a. Brake.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Breaking F1 podcast.
Hello, sorry, we've just started off with me having a little coughing fit there. So we're doing well. But
nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed
thank
it.
You. Yeah, thank you. Welcome to episode 6, the Japanese Grand Prix review. And let's just say I'm glad I didn't wake up for it.
I was live. I rolled out of bed. I was late for my qualifying watch along stream and I was sad. And then I rocked up for the Japanese Grand Prix. I was like, let's go. And then I saw that and I was like, I can just imagine in the back of my head the little paper boats that people make in the pit lane when it's washed out and they're like racing the paper boats down the gutter. That was me the morning of the Japanese Grand Prix. I think I was up at like 5. It was worth it though. It was worth it. We had a great bonding experience over fraudulence and all sorts of
shenanigans.
Very unclear what the heck is going on, but we made it. We made it through. And now we're a little bit late on this podcast on Tuesday, so apologies for everybody. It's because Dan went over the cost cap as well.
Yeah,
no, we had a couple meetings.
I've been out begging outside MK Central train station to drum up some support and extra change.
How'd it go?
It's not looking good, boys.
All right. Well, if that's then we've got the Buy Me a Coffee for the Engine Breaking podcast. There'll be a link somewhere for that to help us through this difficult time.
Yeah.
An advantage not locked in for years, honestly, on this one.
Help me pay for any legal fees.
You say that. It might happen one day.
Maybe.
Like, that's actually too fraudulent, mate. That's actually too fraudulent. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, when I woke up at about 7 a.m., and a shout out to all you lot on the other side of the world that have to do this regularly, you lot are troopers. Big up yourselves. I got up I think about 7 a.m and by then I think the race was just finished, so I couldn't contain myself. I had to check on Twitter and I think it was literally at the moment where nobody actually knew if Max was the champion or not, so Max's reaction was pretty much the same as my reaction at home, just like what the fuck is going on.
That was weird, man. And I feel like I'm sure there's a lot more important topics going on in the sport right now that we're gonna get to all of them, but
No, that there's was, nothing else happening in the world of F1 fun. At all.
Okay, well, that was honestly, through so many ways, that was kind of a robbery, and we'll get to that. That was an opportunity missed. And it makes me think back to Peter Windsor talking about the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix and the idea that, you know what, in his opinion, which is a very interesting one, is they should have just finished the race behind the safety car. Crofty would have had a whole lap to talk about the amazing fight and the challenge and everything through the whole season and give that to him. But the TV and everybody else and wanted to see a one-lap shootout. But I get that completely. And imagine finishing the race not knowing that you actually won the world championship because the ambiguity around the points awarded for that race. That's nuts, man. And if we're wondering why people are disillusioned and there's so much crap being thrown around the sport, it's because there's absolutely no clarity and no transparency around anything.
Yeah.
And I think we need that.
Yeah, my favorite part was when I think it was there was a shot of Jonathan Wheatley on the pit wall actually going through the regulations trying to figure out how himself.
He's got a binder of papers.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, if Jonathan Wheatley doesn't know what the rule is, then it really is fucking confusing.
I agree with that, man. He was probably one of the best team managers. He knew his stuff inside and out. He was a machine. A machine.
So yeah, there you go. A confusing race, but we're going to go through it.
We've got a little bit. And if anybody's new to the podcast, by the way, my name's Brake, aka Blake, and this is my beautiful co-host. Do you want to introduce yourself for anybody new tuning into the podcast for the first time this week? And also let them know why we're so fraudulent. I think that hasn't been clear. We've mentioned it twice, but
well, no details. I am Engine Mode 11, aka Dan, and I stole a living from Red Bull Racing for 6 years as a senior systems engineer. And then, funnily enough, after me and you left, they've started winning championships. So,
back-to-back, baby!
Hence the fraudulence.
Yeah, so two former Formula One engineers but Dan has a real job. I'm a degenerate YouTube content creator, podcast, Instagram, getting blocked on Twitter and all sorts of stuff. But
yeah, you have to like and subscribe to this because it actually depends if Blake's going to eat tonight or not.
Yeah, I've got lasagna, and Sarah said if we don't hit 25,000 subs on YouTube, I have to eat kibble from the cats. So
commiserations.
But we've been having a blast so far. Was this episode 6?
Yeah, we're on episode 6, big man.
Let's go. We've crossed 2,000 subs on YouTube, which isn't our primary platform, but we're publishing this podcast. If you're listening to it, we're also on YouTube. There's a lot of short form content on that. We are now partnered on YouTube. So whoever's the Daddy Bezos of YouTube can start drip feeding us some of that sweet, sweet advertising revenue. What else we got?
We've managed to go over 4,500 Twitter followers.
Thank all of you. Seriously.
Yeah. And as well as 3,500 on TikTok. Now, I am a boomer, so I don't know, mate. I don't know. Is that good for TikTok? Who knows? That's your department.
I think we've had a couple of good TikToks. There's a nice 400,000 plays TikTok. So shout out to Praj doing the edits and Annie for keeping on track of uploading all that chaos. So if you like these podcasts, do be sure to search for us on all of your favorite social media platforms. We don't have an OnlyFans yet. That is Engine Mode 11's Only yep. Dad's account, and that's not public.
I'm
you gotta get invited to that.
Tier 3 yeah. subs only, I'm afraid.
Oh, shall we get into the weekend then? Else on the intro?
Let's go. No, I think that's it for intro. Well, as always, we'll start off with a bit of news. So apparently in 2023, we're going to get two test qualifying events. They don't know.
Devil take the hindmost?
They're not going to tell us which events they're going to be at.
Oh, the suspense is killing me.
They're going to trial having Q1 hard tires only, Q2 medium tires only, and Q3 soft tires only. Now, I haven't been able to confirm this, but Matt Summerfield on Twitter, he's a good guy, big up himself. He's probably not listening, yep. But there you go. He told me that's apparently been in the regs for ages as like a test item, so I didn't know that.
What? I didn't know about that either. What do you think about that? That doesn't sound terrible to me.
I'm willing to try it. It's going to be at two events. They've not told us which. As long as they don't shithouse it and do Monaco and fucking somewhere else awful.
Yeah. I've got a tinfoil hat conspiracy.
Go for it. Hit me with it.
You can chuck it in. Right. We all know that Mercedes are struggling with warm-up right now.
Yeah.
And they've that's been a normal kind of Mercedes thing over a little while. It's struggling with warm-up. This regulation was voted in to hurt them even more and make sure that they get knocked out in Q1 so they can't heat up their hards.
You think?
Yeah, it's been stamped and sent. So
Stefano regulation Domenicali received the signal from Maranello and he's been activated like the sleeper agent.
Exactly. He's like, right, these Ferraris are overheating the tires. Mercedes, too cold. We will make sure Leclerc and signs get through.
He's received his Domio Day instructions, and that's it.
Exactly. I think that holds water, man. I don't know. I don't need to verify that.
Your logic is flawless. We'll go with it. And then we had the news. This one surprised me, but we knew about it already, apparently. But Nyck de Vries is going to AlphaTauri, and Gasly is going to Alpine. All confirmed.
The drivers co-confirmed it on Twitter. They didn't deny it.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're not denied it yet. We've not seen the tweet denying it yet.
Oh my God! Go on, Piastri.
But Alpine had to pay $10 million to release Gasly from Red Bull. So that's not even his salary on top of that.
Dude, they love throwing cash. How big was the bag they threw at Danny Ric back in the day? That was a chunk of change. Yeah. What was Ocon's re-signing deal? That was criminal as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But they also had to pay costs to McLaren for losing the case with Piastri. So,
oh, my goodness.
FIA, you need to look at them, right, for this cost cap.
Yeah. Well, like, I guess do drivers' salaries don't count, but what about like what you need to pay to buy a driver out? Is that kind of in like the driver's salary?
I'd imagine it comes under that, yeah.
Why didn't how much did Red Bull pay you to fuck off, mate?
Not enough, because I've got a full-time job.
Oh my god.
I think when I had him a notice in, I think they were still surprised I was there. I think, oh shit, we thought you left years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Just been hiding in over in building 4 where no one knows where I am, sort of hiding. So yeah.
Love that.
But
so we've got Nyck de Vries to AlphaTauri.
Yep.
I had to think about him. We've talked about him a couple times in the last few weeks. I think he's probably solid, but I think he's reasonable at best. You know, I'm not expecting him to show up in the AlphaTauri, and I think he's probably gonna Hulkenberg it.
Ooh, you think?
Yeah.
I was surprised that AlphaTauri went for someone that's, again, it's not a dig, but in terms of drivers, he's a rookie to F1, but he's old.
Yeah.
And when you think of AlphaTauri, you think young, upcoming talent. Yeah. So I think it's quite the statement from Dr. Helmut Marko that he'd rather look outside and pick, you know.
Yeah, outside of the, you know, the current stable of young, eligible young men.
Yeah, so interesting turn of events there. I'm trying to think as well, when's the last time we had someone that made their debut in Formula E then came to F1 and not the other way around? Because Formula E has always sort of been seen as like a bit of a retirement home, isn't it, for F1 drivers?
The donkey sanctuary, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, have we ever had someone that's been in Formula E first, then come to F1?
I think everybody in the stream is saying that was their first one.
Yeah, because we had Albon, who had, I believe, only a contract. And then all of a sudden it was like, nah, you're coming to F1. GG.
Speaking of, man, while we're on talking about it, so we've got Gasly to Alpine. Albon, I feel like, had a really tough time in the Red Bull. I think that dude's so underrated. I really think Alex is super, super underrated.
Yep. And I'm glad to see him back.
Me too. He's genuinely one of the nicest dudes I've ever met. Worked with him quite a bit in the simulator over the last couple of years at Red Bull. And it was when Alex was coming in, it was always a pleasure when he was going to be in, because he's just a sound dude. He loves work. He's a nice guy. But to be fair, most of the guys were. But you know, he just had a tough time. And I'm glad to see him thriving back on the grid. It sucked. But
yeah.
How do you feel about
Gasly and Ocon, man.
I'm all Monge 2 for the French triple team up. You know, and I think Gasly, you know, is, I think he deserves another shot at a top team.
Yeah.
And I'm going to class Alpine as a top team because they're a manufacturer. So I'm going to class that as a top team.
And they are kind of competing up in that. Like they're trading paint with the Mercedes quite often lately. So, you know, that's fourth, fifth territory in terms of pecking order, in terms of performance.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they're at in terms of results right now, but I think that's fair.
Yeah, and, you know, either way, we're going to be winners from this because it's either going to be really feisty and kick off and it's, you know, going to be like Nico and Hamilton part two.
Yeah,
for sure. Or we're going to end up with, like really good racing between them and that good dynamic. So we'll see. I don't know. Either way, we'll see.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be I reckon Netflix paid somebody to make that happen, honestly. Yeah, they're maybe. Like, you know what? We're so sick of scripting these fake narratives and we don't need to. Why don't we pay you guys to make this narrative happen? The battle of the French dudes.
Yep. So I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Go on.
Ocon or Gasly, who do you rate higher?
Gasly.
Yeah, okay, agreed. And that's probably our Red Bull bias. So
yeah, I'm so biased.
Send your hate mail to @EngineMode11 on Twitter.
Yep. I don't need any more hate mail today, thanks.
No, you're doing quite well. I'm very impressed. Yeah, so I think that's it really for the major news. Oh, of course. How could I possibly forget this little tiny bit of info that came out recently? Yeah, so apparently Red Bull Racing have spent all their money on sandwiches last year.
Yep.
And obviously that's true because I'm a fat bastard, so I can confirm that I ate all the pies. But yeah, no, the FIA finally got round to giving us an update on these certificates of compliance or whatever fancy PR word they're calling it. 7 out of the 10 teams were compliant. Now, one of them, Williams, we already knew about. They filed their paperwork late and they got a $25,000 fine back in May.
Sons of bitches. Yeah, how dare they?
I know, right? And Aston Martin is another one. They're in what they call a procedural breach of the financial regulations, which is what Williams were when they paid it late. But the fact that Aston Martin haven't come out publicly or anything with the amount like Williams did makes me think that Aston are still contesting that or there's something going on in the background.
And that's kind of been swept under the rug a little bit. Like nobody's memeing or talking about that other than saying, you know, how are they going to break the cost cap and not have that much performance this season? It's like, well, it was a procedural breach, which I don't even know what the fuck a procedural breach is. Did they file something like incorrectly and the FIA said, you put that in the wrong column, mate.
I think that's that translates to. But like you say, that's been overshadowed because our good friends, Red Bull Racing, they have been done for a procedural and a minor overspend breach. The FIA pretty much just told us that and then that was it and just sort of left the internet to explode and then thought, right, we're going home for dinner.
So did the FIA website crash yesterday as a result of that?
Yeah, it did, yeah. So all we know for certain is that it's a minor overspend, which means it was less than 7%. Was it? No, sorry, less than 5%, which I believe translates to less than 7 million.
Yeah, something like that.
A Dutch journalist that apparently is quite reputable, but again, you know, it's a journalist, said that apparently it's down to, and shout out whoever just drove past my house with a loud exhaust. I hope you're listening to the pod. And yes. Oh, fuck, I forgot where I was now. Fuck's sake. What was I saying?
7.5 million.
Oh, yeah, the journalist. Yeah, this journalist, dude. Journalist dude said that apparently it's down to, I can't fucking say this with a straight face, catering and sick pay. But I question that because sick pay is specifically excluded in the regulations.
Yeah.
And into food, again, I've not checked this, but how the fuck can food come under a cost cap?
Or how do you identify, you know, like of all the things you're spending money on, imagine you've got 50 different avenues of expenditure. And they're like, it wasn't the front wing or the floor that put it over. It was the food. It was definitely the food. Cause you know, you add them in a certain order. It's like when you're trying to figure out the grid drops and everybody's got to back the grid in a 20 place grid penalty.
Yeah.
You stack them up. And then like the food was the one at like the end. And it's like, yeah, the food put you over the line, mate. It was just the food. And like, let's be honest, the catering was okay, but it wasn't that fucking good.
It wasn't fucking $2 million good, or whatever the figure is they're banding about.
Can we get a big shout out on the podcast for Bianco's Bistro and Maiden Sud Pizza, two Milton Keynes food trucks.
Big up Bianco's.
Bianco's was the local one on the estate. Spectacular. Very nice dude. Loves Formula One.
Yeah.
And then the other one is in the center in Milton Keynes. It's called Maiden Sud. It's the best Napolitana pizza I've had in a long time. And I know Italians that also rate that. Whenever the Italians move over here to work at Red Bull, they're like, oh, I love working at Red Bull, but English food is shite. And then they find a place like Maiden Sud and they're like, okay. So this is not a paid advert. I was there the other day and I had a Parma. And then the classic is getting a Nutella and ricotta calzone as a dessert pizza. And it's dusted with powdered sugar. It's spectacular. So if you live in Milton Keynes or you want to do a pilgrimage of holy spots that are related to the Red Bull racing, I guarantee you, me and the boys and gals have stopped a couple times at Maiden Sud for a little calzone. And like, let's be honest, Bianco's Bistro was a once a week, twice a week kind of thing for me. Easy.
Definitely. Yeah, no, and like you say, to make it clear, we are not sponsored by a pizza van and a burger van. But if they want to sponsor us, hey, I'm down for it.
Hey, and if you do drop by Maiden Sud, tell them some Red Bull dorks on a podcast sent you, and they'll just love it. I love those guys.
Yeah,
I love those guys. But anyway, we've gone off. So I really, honestly, until we have any more information about the overspend, because we don't know if it was $5 over,
nope,
or if it's $7.5 million just under the major expenditure. So we don't know anything yet. But what I can say is the food wasn't that good. I don't think anybody's gonna get mad at me. The food wasn't bad, but it's not like we're having Wagyu beef.
No. I may look like I've been eating well, but that's not at Red Bull's expense. That was at my own. So yeah, I don't know, but
big up Miss Engine Mode 11.
Yeah. She's probably listening now, actually. What was I going to say? Yeah. So what happens next is apparently if Red Bull Racing don't want to go into like this accepted breach contract, which is what Williams did, which is why we found out about it early with Williams.
Yeah. They just said, yeah, fuck it. We'll pay it, mate. 25 G's. Easy.
I think Red Bull have pretty much come out and said that we're going to contest it because they want some clarification over some items. So I think this is going to be another long, drawn-out process before we find out just what the fuck's going on, how much it was, what it was on. And the FIA, we might not even fucking know.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you know, you had the thing with the Ferrari, the fuel flow thing, and apparently they settled that and because they didn't want to reveal anything because it would leak intellectual or it would compromise their intellectual property, so they made a settlement. And it's like, so you guys basically were doing some stuff, FIA said okay, we don't want you to do that and we'll settle this, and you probably pay us some money or as a settlement or whatever that means. I'm assuming a settlement means there's money involved, and you can do stuff which isn't on the up, and nothing else happens, and you still didn't win the championship.
Yeah,
imagine. But I don't find talking about, like, once the cost cap came in and people are like, budgets and this and that, we're gonna have to tune down on this. I'm just like, I'm so fucking bored, man. I came here to do cool engineering, not to be like, we can't do that suspension thing or that. That's gonna have to wait because cost cap, or your salary can't increase because cost cap, all that other stuff. I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. So
yeah, I mean, even the department I worked in, we felt the strain, and I don't know if other departments did it, but we had to sort of plan out our expenditure over 5 years and then sort of divvy up what projects we were going to bring in on what year with what we were allocated for that budget cap in that year, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was just like, fuck it, here's a blank check, go nuts.
Like, what do you need to go fast? And I get it. Like, it makes the sport viable for new people and smaller teams to thrive. And it's just one of those things. It's not exciting to me. And I hope whatever happens, that the FIA is clear and transparent on it. Because the last thing I want to see is some settlement out of court, because all that's going to do is cast an even larger dark shadow over this entire thing, which is the FIA trying to control Formula One and try to regulate it. Because it's, let's be honest, there's a couple shit stains on it right now.
Yeah, well, you've just now guaranteed that's exactly what's going to happen, so...
Ah, fuck's sake. There you go.
But, that's all we can really say on it, because we don't really know much else than that, so...
Yeah. I mean, we did talk for, like, 10 minutes on that, so that's okay.
Yep. Should we actually get... sorry, what was you... Go on, go on. Tell me what you were going to say. Go on.
Should we get to... Yeah, go on, say it. Let's get out. Let's move on. Let's just real quick to stir the pot before we move, right? Everybody that's freaking out about that Ross Brawn clip about anybody found to be fraudulently. And I was like, Ross Brawn shouting us out on this clip from whenever that was. Found to be fraudulently breaching that. But I don't.
Yeah.
Like, the rules are kind of not clear, not committal, because at the end of the day, none of the big teams wanted a cost cap. So they all kind of agreed. They're like, yeah, should we vote on like this? If there's a minor breach, it's kind of like, you know, you can lose some points or some wind tunnel time or like a little bit of a fine, no big deal. And everybody's like, yeah, go on. And then everybody else was like, oh, okay. But at the end of the day, the FIA lets teams vote on this shit. Mm-hmm. So the reason you have these bullshit vague rules is because the teams are in the loop. What the FIA should say is, right, why don't you guys tell us all that you think about this? You know, give us the ins and outs and be honest. And, you know, they've got some technical people that used to work at teams. They can vet some of these feedback from these, you know, focus groups with the teams. And then fuck taking a vote on it. Just make sure that there's competent people in the FIA taking this information on board and making decisions, setting out the regs, and also setting out the penalties. Make them clear, make them harsh, avoid people doing it. Or you end up with something bullshit like the engine penalties. Engine penalties don't fucking matter. Unless you're a slow car.
Or a race that happened in Japan that got full points, even though it was technically a 75% distance race. Because
that's
somebody...
a 52% distance race.
52% distance race. And all because someone copied the wrong line from the wrong document into the post-Spa 2021 document.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. So speaking of... That was a little foreshadowing that we've done on this pod. We're going to talk about the Japanese Grand Prix now. So why don't we change gears from all the fraudulence and get on to more fraudulence?
Well, you say that, but I'm not going to change gear from the fraudulence, because the best part to come out of Friday was Nicholas Latifi taking the wrong turn in FP2 and then having the fucking nerve to blame the car for it.
Doesn't he have like Google Assistant in his ear? Turn left now. And he's like, oh, fuck, it was too early. You bitch, Siri. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What a crime. Was... But he did redeem himself, but I don't want to spoil that too much, but he did redeem himself after absolutely. Oh my god.
Yeah, but let's not pretend that I'd have done any better. Cause what was that in like turn 12, I think it was?
It was just prior to the chicken. 15 is the chicken, I believe.
Is it? Yeah. Brother, I wouldn't have made it to turn 1 if I was driving an F1 car, let's be real.
Nah, bruh.
So, yeah. Anyway, big up yourself, Nicholas Latifi, for getting that you're on the world feed and everyone can see you taking the wrong turn and the car's absolutely fine. Friday free practice sessions were a washout. So basically, every single bit of data the team's got was pretty much useless, right?
Pretty much, but I think there was a little bit of learning from some teams and a little bit of unlearning from others that happened. And we'll get a glimpse of that when we come to the race time as well.
Yeah.
But we've had wet weather tires featuring in the last two Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yes. Yeah. On to qualifying again. Not really a huge amount to talk about there, I suppose, apart from Max deciding to light his tires up and nearly spanked it into Lando. Obviously, he got a reprimand for that. But, you know, it's the same. It follows the precedent of previous incidents like that. They were both on an outlap. I don't think it's that fucking deep.
You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of, was it Montreal, Latifi and Stroll, where they're like, right, we're both on outlaps. Are you going? No, are you going? Are you going? And then they ended up crashing into each other. But Lando fully sent it off on the grass. I mean, Max is warming up his tires through 130R. He was in sync.
Yeah,
I was in Australia, sorry. Yeah, it was in Australia. But Max was in sync with Lando. So they're both on outlaps. And he's like, right, cool, everything's fine. And Lando decides he wants to overtake him, which you can completely do that. At that time, it was coincident that Max lit up his rear tires, you know, accelerating to try and make it to the chicane. But at the same time, the race engineers can't inform the drivers on that. It's like, if there's a guy on a time lap, that's easy to identify. But if somebody who's, you know, 200 meters behind you decides to start sending it,
yeah,
you have no warning unless you're checking your mirrors.
I think it was just unfortunate timing, really. Like you say, Lando went for it. Max stuck his foot down, and I think he got a bit more wheel spin than maybe he was expecting and just went whoop. So, yeah.
Yeah. That was not clean, though. But the qualifying pretty tight, man, honestly. Max a 29.304, Leclerc a 29.314, and Sainz a 29.361, and Perez a couple tenths off on that. So
yeah,
interesting, man.
Esty Bestie had a good one, P5 in front of Lewis
really loved qualifying behind Ocon and spending the entire fucking race looking at his gearbox. That was good.
Yeah, getting the shower from all the spray and the shite being flown up.
Yeah, Dark Lord himself, Fernando Alonso, 7th, Russell P8, not quite as quick as Lewis on the day, but their car looked so bad around Suzuka, man. They had to put so much wing on the car. I was looking through the analysis of that, and I was just like, they've got a huge rear wing on the car just to go similarly quick through the corners to the people in front of them, and they're just bleeding lap time on the straights, man. That was not fun to watch at all.
Yeah, and that Mercedes has been fucking weird all year, because it can go to one track and be an absolute dog, and then you'll go to a different track and the thing looks like it's ready to almost win a race. I'm forgetting how to talk there.
But I think that one is like that Mercedes power unit is not particularly strong, and that car is not particularly efficient from a drag point of view. So when they need to bolt on a bunch of downforce and top speed isn't as much of a factor, they're kind of in the mix. But when you go to a track like Spa, Monza, where you need a super efficient car, you're fucked. And then you go to a place like Suzuka where you need downforce, but you also need to have some grunt to push you through those S's, which are basically, you know, just breathing on the throttle, and they're long straights. 130R is flat. That's not a corner. And then you're just getting mullered on the straights. So unfortunate for that. But had an interesting race. We can get back to that. Sebastian, we did not hear his typical Q1 knockout cry of despair.
No, we didn't. We didn't even hear it in Q2 either.
No, we didn't. But we did. Daniel did have to take one for the team so that Seb could get through. Daniel qualified 0.004 of a second behind Seb because Daniel had a lockup into the final chicane. So Daniel qualifies P11, gets knocked out in Q2, and Seb gets a chance to go into Q3. Norris does not set a further timed lap after the shenaniganry with Max. So Lando qualifies P10.
Yeah. Yeah, so Seb getting into Q3 in the Aston Martin. Progress being made on that car, do you think?
I'm not sure, honestly. It didn't look abysmal in the race, and they had some pretty good five-head plays, which we'll talk about. But yeah, it's hard to say. But like, to be honest, though, a track like Suzuka, you can't have a shit car around Suzuka. It's such a demanding track. It's got... You need grunt from the engine. You need good platform. You need lots of downforce. You need good grip. You need good tire management. You need to do a lot of stuff around Suzuka to go well around there. And I think they did a pretty good job of it in the race. Definitely.
Yeah, so that's your qualifying. Nicholas Latifi was at the back, but he was going to be there anyway because he had that 5 grid place penalty from Singapore. But guess what? Yes, what?
I don't know. What are you going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you that overnight, those cheeky AlphaTauri engineers went and stuck a different fuck's sake, what is it me talking today? A different specification rear wing on Gasly's car, which meant he had a pit lane start. So
he qualified 17th, and they just said, you know what, mate? What, did they throw some downforce? They threw some more downforce on it for Sunday in the wet?
Yeah. So congratulations, Nicholas Latifi, from having a 5-grid place penalty in P20, yet somehow still starting a race in P19. That's very fucking impressive. If anyone can make any sense of that, then please DM me.
Yeah. Engine mode good boy at twitter.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, he Gasly pit lane start. And then obviously the race start itself. We found out pretty fucking quickly that we shouldn't have probably started that race. But Charles was like he had traction control on in that car. That guy just went.
His start was spectacular. So he actually edged out Verstappen by turn one. But Max wasn't going lightly.
No, I think Max hit a bit of standing water and spun him up, and then had a very sort of Max moment going into turn one where he just thought, nah, sod it. I'm going to win the race here and now.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful move.
That was the move, honestly, but looking forward, I don't think the Ferrari was going to hang on to that one when we see what happened with Leclerc.
Yep.
But I just want to reiterate Johnny Herbert's point on that. I just really wish they had that level of respect racing last year.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're going to get us fucking cancelled again, aren't you?
No, I don't know, man. Herbert had some weird takes this weekend, and we'll get into that in just a second.
The whole Sky team are close to being on fucking fraud watch, but we'll go into that later.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz continues his season to forget by not even getting to the end of lap two or lap one. I can't remember even what it was now.
Yeah.
But to be fair to him, the conditions of that track were fucking a nightmare. Lance Stroll had an absolute bonkers start as well.
My God, dude. Oh my God. I mean, did you watch the replay of that?
Yeah.
I squeezed my butt cheeks really tight watching that replay because he's threading the needle between the pit wall. There was even some wheels on the grass.
Yep.
He's going up the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. Lance has got balls as big as his eyebrows, mate. He did not give a fuck. And I respect that.
So he started 18th and goes all the way up to, I believe, 11th on first lap. I mean, we do lose signs on the first lap. That was a mega start.
Yep. And, on the other side of his garage, Vettel had an all right start. Again, he the ball's on him to sort of go out onto the grass and on the white line. You can see him struggling with the car and almost ends up in a tank slapper on the straight. But unfortunately, he gets a little love tap from Alonso, which spins him out on turn one, which is a shame.
I think he turned in on Alonso. Looking back at that.
It's a turn one in the wet incident. I don't really see...
It wasn't that big of a deal, but it wasn't that deep. But Vettel gets punted all the way to the back. I'm watching the track map, and he's done an excursion through turn one. But
yeah.
But we've got Sainz, man. Sainz bends it. I think it's out of the hairpin going down towards Spoon, and there's a little river on the track there.
Yeah.
And it's a big one, man, and it all kicks off there. But here's the question I've got. I think we'll get back to this in a second.
Oh, okay. Question time.
We delayed the race start, right?
We did.
We started on intermediate tires.
We did.
And it's too wet for intermediate tires, but it's too dry for wet tires.
Correct.
Listen, help it make sense, mate.
I'm not the fucking head of Pirelli, so I don't know why you're asking me this question.
Well, we had an interview later in the race after this red flag caused by Sainz and repairing that, and the rain came down more. And Mario was saying something to the effect of, well, we talked about having a monsoon spec tire, which is, you know, you'd have a monsoon, a wet, an intermediate, and then your dry specs. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then he went on talking about, well, also there's too much spray. I'm like, well, that's the whole point of a wet weather tire, is to move the water off the track. And you have to put it somewhere else. We don't have fenders on these cars. We don't have mud flaps.
Like, no, but he does raise a good point about the spray. And I do think some of the spray is sort of the issue with the spray has been exasperated by the now ground effect aero balance of these cars.
But I guess now you're throwing it up in the air. You're not throwing it you know, out super wide. So you've got this, you know, this rooster tail behind the car. But at the same time, it's like restart the race. You know, when you start the race, if you're on wet tires, the drivers have to manage the gap so that they can maintain visibility. And like, that's just wet weather racing. And if the tires aren't cut out for it, what are they going to, cause like we waited to start Singapore until we went on intermediates, which I can understand that on a street circuit, but, and I know Suzuka has some issues. Like there are rivers that form across the track. When there's heavy downfall, you get water, you get rivers running across the track, and that causes aquaplaning, which is what sent signs off. Like I'm surprised we didn't see more there. But I'm totally perplexed, and I was going to do a whole huge analysis and looking at the wet to enter to dry crossovers and why we don't use the wets more. And then I realized that was a lot of work, and I wanted to do something else for this week's video. But
yeah, so from my time in the paddock, let's say, I heard, again, this could be complete bullshit, but I heard that basically the wet tires are fucking useless. Nobody likes them. They aren't. I wouldn't go as far as to say they're not fit for purpose, but I don't even think Formula One themselves are happy with them, which is why they're so reluctant to actually start a bloody race on them.
I think you might be hitting the point there, and I have not heard anything from the team or drivers about them stating, and I honestly don't think they can probably make statements about tires. I think they're kind of like, nah, don't.
Yeah.
But like, so I don't think we actually know what's going on with that. But I think you're right. I don't think the race director, I mean, you've got the safety or medical car pounding around during the red flag period when it's pissing down, and the driver's feeding back to race control, standing water here, water levels like this. I think this is good. This is probably too much, and so on. But by the point they decided to restart this race, it was ready. We'll get to that. It was basically not ready. You didn't need to use the wets. It was like, it's dry enough. Fuck it. But before we get to the race restart, we had some serious shit happen. And watching that race, I was insanely uncomfortable watching that. And the news broadcast took an age to get to it, because I think they were kind of isolated from it. But man, Gasly's close call with the recovery vehicle on the track was I don't want to talk about it, but that was like 2014 vibes, like insanely frightening.
At Suzuka as well, of all fucking places.
Oh my god! But we had it in Monza, where there's people between Lesmo 1 and Lesmo 2. There's a crane with Ricardo's car in it backing up on the circuit, and the cars were like, you know, I'm sure they knew about it. So whoever was offline there, that's on them, because I'm sure they knew about it, that the crane was there. But at the same time, if there's a car parked in a spot like that, red flag the fucking thing, man. We don't need to see cars going, you know, 100 kilometers an hour past cranes.
Yeah.
I don't care.
So this is the weird thing for me. Like, you see that crash, and obviously Carlos's car's going to be recovered, you know that. And then you also see there's also the advertising hoarding and all that that's all come off and thrown around everywhere.
Yeah.
Why don't you just fucking wait until all the cars are back in the pit lane before you send that tractor out? I don't understand why. What you're rushing for? It's clearly a red flag.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have time. You're going to have to fix the tech pro. You're going to have to recover this car. There's not a recovery point on that side of the track. So, like, I don't understand what they were doing. But, like, to echo your point, it's like, what are they rushing, man? Seriously, it's like there was the recovery vehicle was on the track while the safety car had collected everybody. Everybody freaked out because Gasly flew past the safety, you know, the scene at 250 kilometers an hour, which is not clever. And I looked through that regulation, and in red flag conditions, there's no point in going that quickly. But this is not about Gasly. I don't think if they slapped him with a penalty, fine, so be it. But there's no reason in poor visibility. The recovery trucks have no fucking lights on them whatsoever. There's a shitload of rain, downpour. There's spray on the track.
Yep.
Why is that thing there?
Fuck knows. And like you say with the Gasly thing, I have no problem with him being penalized for speed, and that's fine. That's not my issue.
Nope.
The issue is the fact that tractor was on the track in the first place. And we need to say, at the time of recording this, we don't actually know why it was on there. We don't know if the FIA allowed it out on track or if they just went rogue and decided to do it themselves. The FIA have said they're going to investigate it and find out what exactly went wrong there. But it's happened too many times now. We've seen weird shit like this. So I don't know, man. Like, they've said it in the post-accident report they released about Jules, that no recovery vehicle should ever be on track, yet here we are, what, 8 years later? Which isn't that long, really, is it? Let's be honest.
No, it's not. I mean, I was there at the track in 2014 at Force India. Like, I remember that. It's like, oh, the race has stopped. And just didn't really talk to anybody for the rest of the night. Other than, like, what happened. And they're like, something bad. That made my stomach turn when I saw that. And this guy, everybody except for Jensen were kind of ripping into Gasly. And it's like, what did the FI feed you a line just to detract attention from that?
Because yeah, so this weekend, Sky can go fuck themselves. They're not going to sponsor us anytime soon, but I don't care. They fucking deserve to be put on blast for the bullshit they were fucking coming out with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was...
Like you say, I think Jensen was the only one that came out with a bit of sense of logic.
Yeah, I think Brundle would have been good this weekend.
Well, he's come out and I think he's done a piece to the camera. I haven't actually listened to it yet, but I think he speaks some sense in it. But yeah, good. That was just fucking clownery going on there on Sky.
But at the same time, I also feel like us sitting here from our armchairs on Twitter, like, it's nothing to do with us, but I think we actually had more information than they did at the time.
No, we're experts now. We can do what we want.
Yeah, fine.
So that's basically fine. What I'm saying is go get a VPN and subscribe to F1 TV.
Yeah, basically. Oh, so why don't we get into the race restart? Because yeah. we can go on blast, because that actually fucking winds me up massively.
Yeah, so I must admit, I don't actually know how long Azalea was, because like I say, I woke up and just fucking watched the highlights.
Yeah. I think we ended up safety car starting, cars behind the safety car for a couple laps with 40 minutes to go.
Yes. So. I know it got converted across to a
time limit.
Yes. Sorry. I just belched for the viewers. Nice. I'll take that out.
Nice.
Cool. Blimey. Brr. Yeah. I know it got converted to a time race because, although it didn't look too bad on the TV, apparently daylight was disappearing quite rapidly out there.
And that's always a feature at the time of year that they hold Suzuka. It's monsoon season, and the daylight fades very quickly. It's good that they've done this, but it's caused all sorts of other shit we'll get into. But the track starts behind the safety car. So we restart the race behind the safety car, and everybody's on full wets. They decide to do a rolling start as the safety car pulls into the pit lane and everybody takes off, and it's fine. Now, the question is then, everybody's itching. Everybody's burning. Do I fit the intermediate tires yet? Because as we said, the wets appear to be completely useless. Appear to be. Nobody wants to run them, and the track is not too bad. Whoever stops first ends up winning out big in this. Vettel, 18th to P6. Latifi, 17th to P8. And Norris, a little bit later, gets 13th all the way up to P9. So basically, anybody that put on the inters first, the tires were on crossover, and they were absolutely freaking flying. Mick goes from 9th after the restart to basically dead last. His team put him out on a prayer for a safety car. What do you think about that? I had some hot opinions on it at the time, and I've thought about it, and I'm still not sure. What do you think about how they left Mick out?
I think the Haas and Mick relationship is a lot more sour than what we're being led to believe.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think it's not all plain sailing at Haas between them and Mick. We keep getting little tidbits of some animosity there. Yeah, it's a bit odd.
Okay.
I think it was a shit fucking strategy, but
In hindsight, it was a completely shit strategy, but yeah, I talked to a couple people and I got some more feedback on that, and I thought about it for a bit. Okay. Imagine you're hot, right?
I thought you were about to say, imagine I'm hot. I was going to say, I don't have imagine, to imagine.
Imagine, so you know that you're dead sexy, right? No. So imagine that you're Mick and a Haas.
Okay.
And you're, are you imagining that right now?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so Mick, we are currently in ninth. We're on wet tires, and yeah, it looks like everybody's pitting for intermediates.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is we're going to wait. Oh, wait, Mick, what's that? You're all the way up to P2 because it's three laps after everybody's pit for intermediates, and you're at the front. You're in P2. What do we do now, Mick? What do we do?
Oh, so this is like a gamble. We need some game show music in the background.
Yeah, hold on. What do you do, Mick?
Oh, I suppose when you present it to me like that, this is a really long straight, by the way, so I can have this conversation with you. Sorry, I just had to take a turn there. I think we should gamble, actually, when you put it to me like that.
Okay. Well, that's basically what they did. And if you're Haas, if you haven't pulled the trigger after, you know, so we've got Vettel and Latifi stopping pretty much after one or two time laps, and they gain huge because the track is definitely ready for inters. At some point, it's three laps after those guys have pit, you have to pray for the safety car because you've already lost. And if you're Haas, let's be honest, you're gonna be happy to get a point or two on the weekend, right? And if you could risk it for a brisket, because people are going on to inters, people could be shunting off the track. We could have a whole nother red flag. And imagine you shunt that thing, or somebody else shunts that thing, and you're sitting there, and you're all the way up in P2 at one point, Mick.
Yeah, I suppose as well. But once everyone else has pitted, and you're up there in P2. The decision's kind of already been made for you. You're now committed.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to finish out of the points or out of the points. Which one is it?
Yeah. You know,
you're going to finish out of the points, or you're going to end up like, I think if there was a safety car and something happened and it restarted, he would probably end up finishing, maybe holding on to fifth or sixth, which is going to be a huge impact on Haas's haul of points. So I thought it was completely asinine. I'm watching that thinking, fuck me, man. That's the stupidest shit I've ever seen. But
Can't believe you do that to me.
I'm sorry, Mick, but good luck finding a drive next year, mate.
Thanks. I'm gonna sign up to Uber Eats.
Okay.
And that was the tale of Mick Schumacher in Japan.
Yeah, but I think it makes more sense than it did earlier, because I was like, when I was watching the race live, I was just like, the fuck are they doing? But I had to think about it. I don't know. It's worth it.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, when you present it to me like that, then I can understand the decision. So it's one of those ones where, how's it going to say it? That if it works, they look like fucking rock stars. And if
yeah,
not, they look
exactly
like a bunch of fucking wankers.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says. He's like, come on. I don't know what his engineer's name is. Come on, man. Make this work. Look like fucking rock stars.
Yeah.
And then Gunther was probably put him on blast. It looked like a bunch of fucking wankers.
Yeah, so there you go. No door is safe currently. All the Japanese doors in the Haas garage have been destroyed.
Yep.
Commiserations. Yeah, they've all been fox smashed.
Yeah, Io still the chief engineer?
I don't know. I go off of F1 Manager. That's now my new source of information.
Right. Okay, I got you.
So,
fucking
yeah.
Fucking hell, dude. But, That was that restart, and we had a couple people looking like absolute fucking rock stars, though. Seriously,
Latifi.
Norris got a little cheeky one, and Norris did plus three positions. Latifi went up eight, and Seb, after his absolute shocker of a start, smashing it up into Alonso, unfortunately, at the start of the race, Seb comes back. Seb is back. He's all the way back up to sixth.
Yeah.
After that big Huevos Grandes play.
Yeah, and also I'd like to ask another question, Mr. Race Analysis. Lando Norris was running the new spec car again, and I believe Daniel Ricciardo was still on the old spec as per Silverstone.
Yeah.
What was the pace like between them?
Honestly, they were both getting overtaken by George, or at least Lando did. Their pace at the end of the race on the inters was very similar, and it wasn't particularly impressive for either of them. It looks like Daniel started to come alive a little bit, or Lando started to drop off. I really don't think that we saw their upgrade or whatever making much of a difference in this intermediate race.
Okay. Someone's just said that they think Daniel may have had the new spec car for Suzuka. Well... Ah. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I'm just going to fabricate my own reality and live in that.
Yeah.
Basically.
See what F1 Manager thinks.
Yeah, basically.
Daniel Ricciardo the stamp and send it home, which is where he's going to be next year.
That sucked, man. He's had a tough time there, but I don't think there was anything in the data to suggest that there was much exciting about the difference in their pace. They were kind of just not particularly featuring in this event at all. Where'd they finish? Ricardo 11th, Norris P10. Yeah. I mean, and that's about where they were on merit this race in terms of pace. Nothing too exciting, really.
Okay. So, like, what happened at the front? Could you let us know?
Well, basically what happened is Max done run off and left everybody once they put on them intermediates. We had a really interesting thing. I'm working on a video for this one. But Max ran away with this race, like, it was pretty huge. There was one person who matched his pace at the end of the race. Who do you think it was?
I know this because you put it in the show notes.
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
No, I did, but just don't tell anybody else.
Oh, okay. Sorry, no, you didn't do that. So, who was on the pace with Verstappen?
Yeah.
George Russell?
Yeah, blimey. I mean, he was telling everybody about his over. We'll get back to that. But at the front of the race.
That was a nice move.
Anybody see that? Hello. Oh God, I love it here. But Max just kind of ran away with it. Max had a very lonely race. But Leclerc chewed up his front tires on those intermediates. They were absolutely royally fucked. Like, if you saw the picture on Twitter floating around,
yeah,
there was no gauge left on the center of those intermediates. So it's super weird because if you look at qualifying, the Ferrari looks like this car that you have to put so much front end into it to get it to rotate, and you see them going through the spoon curves. They're on the throttle stabilizing the car through the high speed corners. Remember what happened in France? Remember in the long sweeping right hander, Le Bousset?
Oh, that was nice.
Le Bousset. Oui. You know, that in the race, that was that kind of thing. It's like, it's so pointy to get the car through those, to rotate through those high speed corners. It looks like that car needs so much front end. And then you come to this intermediate race, and it's like they have to take so much front end out of the car with the front wing or everything else. And it just looks like it just chews up the front tires. Obviously, we didn't see what happened to Carlos because what happened to him again?
Well, he chewed his tires up, but in a completely different way.
Yeah, they got soaked up by the barrier there, I think.
Yeah, they got chewed up by some tire wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we are now at part of the show where Blake's cat has arrived to sit on his lap and cause some chaos on his desk.
Yeah, Sterling did not want to feature in this episode. All right, buddy, then fuck off.
There you go.
But, so Leclerc wasn't really doing too much, and Checo ended up catching up to him around, was it lap 24? And he's not getting past, but he did get past eventually. But what happened with that?
Sorry, Leclerc getting past Perez?
Leclerc getting passed by Perez, but not on track.
Oh, basically where he decided to create his own line.
Yeah, so at the end of the final lap of the race, Leclerc locks up into the chicane and goes wide, cuts through the grass, and basically the FIA immediately, like,
bang.
Yeah, you're not keeping that 5-second penalty, which a lot of people were quite upset. And it was interesting, and I don't know where I stand on this, but it was a talking point, is they didn't really, there's nothing else. It was like, yeah, that's a 5-second penalty, easy. What are the precedents for that? Because I don't know. I'm not going to say I know. I'm not an expert. I don't use Twitter that much.
No. So again, I'm basing this on vibes, which is okay. What this whole show is about, and that's what you're here.
Sorry,
for.
We've done way too much. We've done way too much actual factual. Let's go back. Let's go full vibes.
Let's go back to shithousing. So the way I understand it is, let's use the Checo and Singapore example where it got dragged out for ages, but that was because they wanted to speak to the team and him. And I think they wanted to sort of get a better idea of just what Checo was doing, really, in terms of telemetry and, like, why were you dropping back? Whereas with Charles, it was like, well, you've just driven off the fucking track. That's a slam dunk. I don't need to hear from you for that. You're not going to tell me you all of a sudden decided to drive off track because a rabbit ran across the road.
Or Godzilla, like in Singapore a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Godzilla, mate. I think we were in Japan, so it could have been.
True, could have been. Myth confirmed. I think in situations like that where it's just basically like, well, you just went off track, bang, that's a penalty. We don't really need to discuss that post-race or with your manager or whatever. And
or with your spiritual guidance counselor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the FIA had a lot of time on their hands to give it such a quick response because they weren't bothered about tractors and that being on the track. They had a bit of a day off, so
yeah. Well, that's a good point. People talking about the is it Kimi and Max in Austin on, was it one of the final corners of the track? Max passed Kimi off the track.
Yeah, and he was in the podium room, wasn't he? And he's basically
they're like, "Nah, mate,
Kimi just arrives into the podium room with that sort of distinctive, completely emotionless Kimi face, and Max just looks at him like,
"Right, mate.
Yep, see you later.
Yeah, have a good one, bro."
Yeah,
that was unfortunate.
Yeah,
that was unfortunate. But anyway, that didn't really bother me that much. But I feel like a lot of people are like, well, Checo got to talk to the stewards last week, and it's like that's a little bit different. Like if you lock up and you miss the track and you go off and it's the final lap, that seems like a little bit easier to slam dunk that. But it's like, I think in the past with the safety car infringements, they did talk to the drivers, like, what was going on?
Yeah, like did you have an issue or whatever? Or
that being said, I'm sure we can find a couple of other instances where that's inconsistent, and that kind of seems to be the name of the game with the FIA lately, is lack of consistency and transparency. But that one doesn't irk me too much, honestly.
No. So, like, with the FIA and the lack of their consistency, it's almost as if the, you know, those really 3D, real 3D videos that that Spanish guy makes. Have you seen them on YouTube?
No.
They're amazing. Shout out him. I'll show you one later. But basically, they're like a really poorly animated, you know, like bowling, 10-pin bowling graphics style.
Ah, yeah, I know the
one. Yeah. They're like that. But at the end of each race, basically, he spins a mega roulette wheel to decide the outcome of the race. I feel like that's now become sort of meshed with reality. And that's now what the FIA have done. So, yeah, congratulations to Magic Alonso for winning the World Championship.
Yeah, Magic Alonso. I love it. Oh, my God. My cat's being a freaking psychopath right now. He's so needy. I don't know what's his problem, but anyway.
Yeah, so Magic Alonso. The viewers at home that are listening to this in their car, just imagine Blake sitting on his chair stroking his pussy.
Meow.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. And, sorry. So where are we up to now? We're pretty much at the end of the race, right?
Well, pretty much. Like, we've gone through the intermediate crossover. Everybody's stopping. Hold on. I got to go throw this cat out of the room. He's being a bastard.
Okay. Fine.
Little rat, you're leaving now. I'm going to edit this out later.
No, I'm going to keep it in because no one gives a shit about you. They're only here for me, so it doesn't matter. And he hasn't got his headphones on. He can't hear this. So, yeah, I was just going to say, like, Blake is really the head and shoulders of this operation.
The fuck?
Don't worry. End of the race.
So here's another good one that we actually missed. We talked about the chicane shenanigans with Leclerc making it. He put his hand up as well. He was like, yeah, I get it. I made a mistake going into the final corner. Yeah, I'm not holding on to that. Fine. At the pit stops from wets to inters. No, actually, it was the pit stop at the very end of the race because Alonso fits on some new mediums. We'll talk about, or some new inters, sorry. Alonso fits some new inters at the end because he's stuck behind Vettel. And he's like, you know what? I've been stuck behind Seb for an age. I'm going to throw on a new set of inters. And he decides to conveniently skip straight through the final chicane as he drives into the pit lane. I was like, I haven't seen how much time he actually gains through that. But he full sent it through the fucking chicane. It looked like a little bit of a mistake, but it was maybe like a Rosberg feigned mistake in Monaco kind of thing. He fully fucking yeets it across the grass, drives straight into the pit lane, puts on some fresh inters, and finishes like 1/100th of a second behind Vettel. So he, you know, he drops way back and then comes back and chases up to him, and they're side by side. It's nuts, man.
I saw what he did in was it Sochi?
Mm-hmm.
When he basically just ignored turn one or whenever it was.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Magic Alonso wins every time.
Yeah, he's shithousing his way around.
I love it, man. But the thing is, like, he knows that he can do stuff like that. And it's like, he's like, I'm on my own. Nobody's watching this. They're watching Max. They're watching Perez and Leclerc battling. I could just fucking send it easy. I had a little mistake. What are you going to do? I didn't lose or gain any positions over anybody. I just shaved, I don't know, a second off of my pit entry. Easy dubs, man.
Yeah. Did you see the neck and neck race to the line with him and Vettel? Did you see it through his visor cam where he went to press the overtake button and on his steering wheel just basically comes up in big red letters, overtake denied.
I had that question. I was like, what is that? It sounds like he's probably just out of battery.
Yeah, I think.
You know, there's no more energy available, or it was just FIA telling him overtake denied, mate. We saw what you did, but we're just going to cut your battery a little bit here, bro.
Yeah, it's not part of the script, Alonso. You can't do this.
Unbelievable.
But no,
unbelievable.
I do, like you say, I think the technical reason is basically it was either a PU limit where he's been spamming it and wasn't allowed to spam it anymore, otherwise it'll explode. Or he just ran out of juice. So yeah.
Yeah. I think he ran out of the sauce. But
yep. He ran out of vibes. And it was super close at the end. What was the gap if I've got it in front of me?
It was 1/100 of a second, mate.
Oh.
1/100 of a second.
And the fucking TV director missed it all.
And that was shambolic.
But that's because he was probably just as confused as us and trying to figure out,
did Max win or not?
Yeah, what the fuck's going on? So
We lost opportunity for a lot of excellent vibes. We didn't get Christian shouting over the radio, GP crying. We didn't get the broadcasters with no sound bites. Crofty doesn't have a sound bite from this year. Are they just going to fake one and make it and put it in Austin or something?
Well, guess what?
Go on.
We can make our own. You ready?
No, I've got something in my throat. Hold on. Yeah, go on.
My dog just barked in the background, so I'm going to have to explain why there's a dog in the car. And he's done it again. Max Verstappen, you're world champion!
Who was it last year? It's just like, Max! Who was that?
I think that was confirmed as Albon?
I don't think it was Albon.
Why would
Albon be on the radio?
I don't know. And I don't really understand why I'm still on the radio. Hang on.
There we go. I'm out of the car.
Yeah, nobody knows. People are saying it's Albon. It was GP. It was... who knows, man? I don't think Albon has access to talk to the driver.
No, I don't think so either. You know who it was? I've just figured it out. It was the guy from catering. Of all the money, he's been promoted and he's now allowed to talk on the radio.
Man, yeah, so apparently Alex confirmed it was not him. So anybody in there throwing those vibes out there, shut up. But yeah. So that's the end of that race. But like we had Russell. We had Russell shithousing through the race. He's all the way back from 14th at one point, and he drives all the way up to 8th, and he has to tell his team. But I do like it when drivers do that. Like Checo does it, Max does it, and they get him all the time with that. It's like, hey, that was pretty good. Hey,
that wasn't bad. Call blimey, mate. I don't know why he talks like that now, but...
Yeah. Like, whenever I'm go-karting, I do exactly the same.
Yeah, did you fuckers see that?
Yeah, in the rare time where I actually do manage to overtake someone at go-karting, I do go, yeah, go on, get in there, you slug. So, yeah.
Love that. Oh, but yeah, so we had Russell driving through, kind of, nobody, we saw that one radio message, that was okay. McLaren's pace was not spectacular, finishing, 10th and 11th, which is about par for their pace this weekend, but yeah. But, so we didn't really know until the end who won the race, and I can't believe if you're Max Verstappen, I can't believe how underwhelming it must have felt that his best mate in the entire world, Johnny Herbert, told him that he was world champion. Checo's mid-interview, right? And Herbert's like, give me that mic back, mate. Yeah. I'm just going to tell this cunt something.
Checo, fuck off. Get out of the fucking way, Checo.
Yeah, exactly.
Max, for reasons unbeknown to everyone in the Sky F1 team and on the pit walls, apparently you're champion. So, and then he had that. Fucking dogs. The dog is well happy that Max is champion, by the way.
You're going to get your dog an orange cape.
Yeah, maybe. Max got himself a little fucking throne room with a random chair in it. Did you see that?
That was so weird, man. That was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah. And
I wasn't into it.
Like, if Max didn't win, what were they going to do with that room? Were they just going to put him in a different room or what?
Yeah, no, they're just going to literally, that room was there for them to just be like, just in case he wins, we'll have something cool. And it's just like the most awkward thing. And I was like, that's the look I give my girlfriend when I'm on the sofa. And she's like, did you just fart? And I'm like,
yeah, the shithouse smile.
That, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. So
that was me.
Max Verstappen wins a championship because nobody can understand or read an FIA document yet again for the second year in a row. Is this man ever destined to clinch the championship in a regular race? Probably not, I think.
Mm-mm.
I think this is the deal he's made with the devil.
Verstappen curse. It's like, you can do it, but Yas signed some paperwork with Satan himself. And yeah.
So Max Kostkaffen has now got his second world driver's title.
You know who else is a two-time?
Who else is the two-time?
Dr. Disrespect. He's tied with Dr. Disrespect. Is it 93-94 Blockbuster Games, I think? Maybe. If I got that wrong, don't shoot me. But yeah.
Well, I think we'll be all right, because I don't think Dr. Disrespect listens to us. If he does,
why not?
You know, let's talk. Let's share some beer tips, mustache tips.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. But yeah, that was chaos. So long story short, we had no idea how it was going to pan out, how many points were being awarded. And they made some clarifications after Spa last year. And we were like, oh, it's only been a 52% race. You know, it's not even hit the three quarters mark. So it's, you know, it's half points. And then they're like, no, the race was suspended and then resumed. And it ran to completion, not under the number of laps, but under the number of the timer that's been set. So
correct.
That confused the shit out of me. Should they revive that? Should they revise that so that it's like, that wasn't a full distance race?
Well, I think even Horner turned around afterwards and said, that's the most fucking confusing document in the world. Why are we using that? And his driver's just won the championship, and even he's turning around saying, that's bullshit.
Yeah, but he said that? That's weird.
Yeah, no, I think there's an article somewhere where he said, like, sort it out. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But clarity, transparency, I think that will go a long way over the next couple of years. But the black cloud's not going around anytime soon.
Yeah.
There's so many question marks, asterisks over everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, go on, go for it.
Did we also hear that they flagged the race too early because there was 4 seconds left on the clock when he crossed the line?
Apparently. But I've not seen anyone acknowledge that, and I've not seen it in any data for myself, so I cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, but that's not surprising. I've seen that in a couple of places. I think Multiviewer showed me that, and it was like, yeah, the timer was 4 seconds when they flagged it. And I was like, interesting. And it's not time plus one lap. It's, you know, but anyway,
yeah.
just another weird one.
Yeah, and it's hard to sort of really get a definitive confirmation unless it comes from an official source, because again, this isn't a dig on Fast F1 or anything like that, but there have been instances where it can be a little bit out and be a little bit questionable.
For sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah, anything like that, I'm standing back until the official timekeeper or FIA make a statement on it. But anyway.
Well, they got bigger fish to fry at the moment, I'm afraid.
They do have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Those dogs, they're not actually my dogs, they're police dogs, where the FIA have sent around to my house to ask where all the fucking budget's gone. I'm currently locked in this room, so...
House arrest?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm on tag.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, no. See the ankle bracelet they got you on?
If you think I can get my ankle high enough to be on this webcam, then I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Anyway. Shall we... We've got it. We were going to do something new this week, actually, but before we get to our U.S. Grand Prix preview, which I really don't have a whole lot going on, but is it time? That regular segment of the podcast?
Hit it.
Fraud Watch.
Fraud Watch.
This is Fraud Watch. Why don't you tell us about Fraud Watch and where it comes from and what we use it for?
Fraud Watch is an idea that I came up with, which I think, to be fair, I probably stole off Twitter anyway. It's where we stick someone from the weekend on Fraud Watch. Someone that's done something stupid, something particularly devious.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, for literal fraud, I could go with Red Bull.
It wasn't fraud.
Well... No, but if I say it's fraud, we might get some likes from other fans, and they might not think we're so biased. I'm trying to play.
Appease them.
I'm trying to play both ends of the spectrum.
Them.
Yeah.
Appease them. All right.
Keep them guessing. Never let them know my next move. You know, am I a Red Bull industry plant, or am I an ex-engineer that's gone rogue? We don't even know yet.
Or are you Helmut Marko?
Exactly. So, but I'm actually. See, you've not put your one down here, so I might end up stealing yours. So,
now go on.
I'm going to go for the not as obvious one, and I'm going to say Pirelli for making wet tires that are about as useful as a chocolate teapot.
Yeah. I'm into that. And I think, yeah, I can't. That was what I was going to go for. But, you know, I'll go for the other one that's obvious.
Yeah.
I think the FIA are on fraud watch this week and most weeks, honestly. But this week is especially bad considering it's not been that long ago. And the shit that they're pulling. I'm not sure it's their fault. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe somebody else did it on their own. Maybe the marshals did it on their own. Fine. But if they don't have something for that and have some transparency and clarity on what the fuck happened and what they're doing in the future going forward, we see somebody else get hurt for a reason that doesn't need to be, absolutely fucking unbelievable. Not great.
Yep. And honorary shout out for frauds is Sky F1. I'm never going to be allowed back in the paddock anyway, so fuck them. Yeah. Sky F1, you're a bunch of fucking frauds. Get the FIA's dick out of your mouths. You know, Jensen, big up. You're the only one that told it how it is. And yeah, basically, if you're in the UK, get NordVPN and get F1 TV. It's far superior.
Wow. Strong words.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're cancelled now.
Okay, it's fine. Well, we could just go ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
You love that GoXLR, don't you?
I do, yeah, look. I'm talking in Morse code now. I haven't got any of the sound pads set up, though. I wanted to get some, like, MLG air horns.
Oh, yeah, please. Oh, yeah, we could get those. We'll set those up later. Yeah. But, like, so we've got the frauds identified from the week. And so Pirelli, FIA, and Sky. Yeah, I think they're all deserving, honestly. But if you use F1 TV, there's no red button because you don't fucking need it. I don't even know what the red button does. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you know what the red button does? You get some driver onboards and you get a track map, I believe, from when I last used it.
And you still get adverts if on SkyGo.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Oh, fuck that noise.
Yeah, you pay for adverts, yeah, bro.
Fuck off, Sky. Who owns Sky? Is it still Rupert Murdoch? You fucking old crony skeleton. You and Bernie need to shuffle off this mortal coil and fuck off.
Hey, here's something we haven't talked about. Speaking of money and everything else, W Series.
Oh, yeah.
They've had to cancel the rest of the season because of a sponsor falling through.
Yep.
What the actual fuck is that? Can we get some legitimate people, like, putting money behind this? Don't just do a fucking lip service, then bail out. Like, oh, sorry, you guys, you can't finish your fucking season. Unbelievable.
Well, that sounds like a good topic to talk about, perhaps maybe next week in our filler show with our yet to be announced special guest.
Ooh, we're gonna pin that one in. We've got somebody awesome for next week's pod.
Someone that actually knows what they're talking about, unlike us.
Yeah. Exactly. She's spectacular. But
oh, well, you're giving it away now. It's now I know it's a girl.
No, it's not.
You said she.
I didn't. Anyway. Engine mode good boy of the week. Hold on.
Oh my god, it's engine mode good boy.
Did that.
Oh Jesus. Michael, are you still in this stream? Because we need an engine boy good boy sound clip, please. Could you sort it out? I know you've done our intro and our fraud for free, but come on, mate, we need a third one.
he was in here earlier.
Engine mode, good boy of the week.
Oh my god. Who you got?
It's controversial.
Okay.
I'm going to give it for Latifi for shithousing the P9. Because I'm always very harsh on Latifi. When he makes the slightest mistake, I'm always on him. So it's only fair that if he's bagged himself a points finish, I've got to have that same energy.
Yeah, okay.
So Latifi, I'm sorry that I have been on your case the entire season or your entire career. But yeah, so congratulations. You've won your first engine mode good boy of the week, which offsets your 20 previous frauds of the week.
Fair. Fair enough. That's probably the last chance we're going to see him on that good boy list ever. Probably.
True.
We might have to come up with something because he is the GOAT after all.
The Latifi good boy mode of the week or something. I don't know.
Latifi has retaken P20 in the driver's standings as well. He was 21st in a 21 driver championship or 21st in a 20 driver championship. So fucking hell.
Well done, mate. That's 22 because it has Hülkenberg and Nyck de Vries.
Yeah. Well done. Get wrecked, Nyck de Vries.
Yeah. Fucking fraud.
I think I'm going to give mine engine mode good boy of the week to both of the Alpine drivers. Can I do that?
Okay. Yeah, you can do what you want, mate. This is our podcast. Go nuts.
Yeah. So Ocon kept Lewis behind the entire race, pretty much. And the Mercedes really didn't have the top speed to overtake, despite the fact I think Lewis had pace in hand. The Mercedes didn't. Ocon driving a very good race. Lewis just couldn't get past him, and that's that. But also, Alonso. Magic Alonso for shithousing that pit lane entry through the chicane, throwing on a new set of intermediates, and charging straight through and coming up and finishing 100th behind. That was cool. And I'm disappointed we did not get to see more of that in the broadcast, because that was some legitimate shithousery. Yeah. And that's a good boy.
Yeah, I wonder if Alonso got past Seb, if they would have gone back and looked at his pit entry and just been like, the fuck are you doing?
I don't think anybody spotted it until well after. Oh, okay. And yeah. But yeah, if anybody had seen that, like the teams, they would have called it. But it's an easy 5 second penalty, that one.
Yeah.
That's hook line and stinker, that one.
Mm. But there's a lot of good candidates for this week. Yeah. But that's what I'm gonna stick with.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. So we had some suggestions the other week. It's like, why don't you guys preview the next Grand Prix? And we're like, oh hell yeah, why don't we preview the next Grand Prix? It's my home Grand Prix.
Yeah, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, for our American listeners, which has grown to 31% of our total audience. Now, for people listening at home, I just need you to know that was a completely above board semi-clap there that Blake was doing, and he was not bashing one out.
Okay.
That's what we're going to tell him.
That's what we're going to tell him anyway. Oh. But yeah,
lay it on me, Mr. America. Come on.
Well, honestly, I am going to... Here's something. I'm going to my first Formula One Grand Prix as a spectator. I have never been to a Formula One race in my life except for work. I've only been in the pit lane. So the 2022 Circuit of the Americas American Grand Prix is my first F1 race, and it's suiting. I remember when the F1 came to the US on the calendar, and I was so excited when I was at Force India, like going home, and like my friends and my family would come down to Austin because they were going to go to the race anyway, but I'd see them. I'd run into people, and like when they do pit lane walks on Thursdays or something, like, hey, what's going on? I was like, how the fuck did you get here? I saw some buddies from the old Spec MX5 racing, but honestly, going to Austin, I typically tend to skip the barbecue and go straight for Tex-Mex, because honestly, if you're not in Texas or California, don't.
Yeah, that seems
don't mess
fair.
With Tex-Mex. Don't mess with Tex-Mex if you're not in. I said Tex-Mex. Like, okay, there's Mexican food. It's just different than Tex-Mex. If you're not in freaking California, maybe there's some other places, but basically, we're way too far east. Like, if somebody's selling a burrito around here in the UK, don't fuck with it. Don't fuck with it. If it says Mexican food, it's not.
No.
It's not.
Fraudulent.
So, Arizona has entered the fight. Fair enough. Yeah, we can mess with that. But like honestly, I'm looking forward to that. I'm gonna get some barbecue. I'm gonna watch the Grand Prix. I'm disappointed that Max won the title in Japan, because it could have been in Austin.
But I believe the constructors is still on and available to be sealed up at Austin.
Cool. So we can have a big smash up party, and I'd fraud my way into it. Say, hey, you guys remember me? They're like, no, fuck off.
Like, yeah. Oh. It's like, oh, you're the guy that's done that podcast, which is. Scantily got us in trouble with the FIA and all the other teams and
whatever.
We are the PR disaster that left.
Yeah, but to be fair, there are people that work in the industry that are listening to our podcast.
Yep.
And
big up yourselves. If you give us some paddock passes, for Christ's sake. Stop holding out on us.
Yeah. Sky probably aren't listening to this ever again, so that's fine. Go. Somebody in the chat said sneak in dressed as a chef, and it's like, what? I'm that fancy chef that you ordered for the Wagyu beef steaks.
Yeah, with like a sandwich platter or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've got the Austin Grand Prix. Is there anything special happening this weekend with the race format or anything else? I've got to be honest with you, this is going to be a pretty shit preview.
I think
I've got tickets for Friday, thanks to Mark. Dude, whoa. Big shout out, Mark. Let's go.
Yeah, big yourself up. I believe you're going to get treated to another 90-minute session of FP2.
Ah, we tested some tires.
Yeah, for some Pirelli testing.
Ooh, that sounds nice. What's on the cart for the test?
I don't know.
Are they doing no warmers or?
I Don't know if this is the non-warmers or if it's the one where they're turned down a bit. And let's be honest, Pirelli probably don't fucking know either, so...
They'll send a run plan like an hour before the session. It's like, ciao, guys, can you do this?
Yeah, they're going to spin the mega roulette wheel, and that's going to be your test plan.
Magic Alonso wins the test plan?
Yep.
Nice. So there's a couple people in the chat thinking it's no warmers or turned down warmers or anything else. Ah, we've got Sergeant in FP1.
Oh, do we?
Do we? Oh, is that a thing?
I don't know, I guess. I mean, our chat is far more informed than what we are. Let's
Jesus
not pretend.
Christ, yeah. Yeah, so this USGP preview was not much for preview. We'll do better next time. But honestly, I'm going to be out there. I'm excited to eat some Tex-Mex and barbecue.
Are we going to get a chance to do an episode of you while you're still out there, or are you going to come home? What's your plans?
I'm leaving Tuesday night, so okay. Maybe if our next episode's guest is out there, maybe we can do a setup. I'm taking my laptop. I can stream from wherever I'm at, so maybe we can find a space and record you remote and us two in person.
Okay, so I'm glad everyone on the podcast knows that we're completely unplanned for all of this.
We're loose as a goose, man.
Yeah, we just fucking wing it every single week,
dude. I'm gonna really. So if anybody's listening to the podcast behind, you can also watch us on YouTube. And if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel and on TikTok and our Instagram, find us. We'll put the links in the whatever platform you're listening on. But Dan's got a little Twitter follower account behind him, and it says 68K right now, 68,164. I was hoping that would switch through to 69,000 on
maybe next time,
but it hasn't. Unlucky.
I think that'd unlucky be, for next time, that'll probably be at 69.
W. Yeah, easy. You'll easily do a couple hundred a day until USGP episode 69,420 on stream. Bet. Bet.
Yep. And I think that's about it for the podcast, isn't it?
That's it for the podcast. The episode has been 1 hour and 25 minutes. So if you're watching this live on Twitch at twitch.tv/break, which we record all the episodes live here, you should be there.
Yeah.
And next time we record this. So we'll see you on Twitter. I'll let you know when we're doing it. But for everybody else, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I hope you've enjoyed the Japanese Grand Prix race review. And our next race preview will be much better, guaranteed. We'll definitely do something.
No, so, it won't. It'll be shit.
All right,
let's be honest. And ladies and gentlemen, as we end in the show, I just want to big myself up. I have dusted off my YouTube channel.
Hey, it's back.
It is back. So
let's fucking go.
YouTube Engine Mode 11, all one word.
Send it.
Every Thursday, I do a quick little 10-minute video where I drink a cup of tea and we have a little chat about everything that's going on in the world of F1. And we're going to have a little chat about the cost cap this Thursday and all this bullshit that's come out.
Let's go.
So, yeah, if you can go like and subscribe so I can afford to feed my kids, I'd really appreciate it.
Love that. Pirelli has pasted the link in chat. Thank you, homie. That's my boy Pirelli Condoms, by the way. Big shout out. I would never buy those, by the way.
No.
I would never buy those. But anyway, can you guys do us a favor? Drop Engine Mode 11 a follow on YouTube if you haven't already. Follow the Engine Breaking Podcast on YouTube if you haven't already. Follow us on all of our socials, on our YouTubes, our TikToks, our OnlyFans, and all that stuff. And can you guys do me a favor and stay fraudulent, all right?
Yeah, and now you can all fuck off.
All right. You guys have a great night. We'll see you after the Austin Grand Prix.
Peace.
Amazon Business honors Jill Lau, Chief Procurement Officer of Global Network Bank. Last week, Jill saved big and used Amazon Business to help her team buy 327 headsets. Now Bob can keep his conversations to himself.
Wait, am I still on speakerphone?
With business buying easier than before, Jill now uses her extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying. Hang it up, Bob.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.